What's up, y'all? Welcome back to Sports Minded. I'm your host, Brittany Young. And now let me introduce my guest. She's a Birmingham, Alabama native, but a product of Fairfield City Schools, former basketball player at Fairfield High School, where she's the second all-time in steals, a 2010 state champion, the first in school history, former women's basketball player at Shelton State Community College, where she won a regional NJCAA regional championship in 2012 and was awarded the Sixth Woman of the Year, former women's basketball player at Auburn University of Montgomery, currently a member of the Underdog Squad in the MLK Women's Basketball League in Birmingham, Alabama, AAU coach of the 14 and under Birmingham Blaze girls basketball team, and the CEO of Sweet Jones Dessert Shop. Amber Jones, welcome to the show.
What's up? What's up?
The correction is Team Free Game, not the Underdog.
Oh, damn, I gave the wrong team. My bad. Free Game. My bad. My bad. But y'all were the runner-ups this year, so congratulations to y'all.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a good season this year. Very good run. We only had six girls, but we did our thing.
That's what's up. So first I want to ask you, how did you get started playing basketball?
Ooh, childhood thing. I guess it was just a development. I don't recall anyone in our family being a basketball player, but I guess it was just something that I picked up on. You know, a lot of guys in the community were hands-on with getting kids to be involved with sports. So I started off with soccer, and then I went along to basketball and just took off from there playing PAT basketball at Wilkerson. And then playing, you know, basketball at Lewis. We had elementary school ball. You know, kids these days don't have the things that we had. We did have elementary school basketball. And I think we actually, if I can recall, I think we won a championship. I can't remember. But, you know, it's just been around it for a long time. So,
okay, I didn't know you played at Wilkerson. I got people over that way, over in East Tumblr. So
I didn't play at the actual school. We had, so if I can remember right, we had PAT ball, which was the police academy.
Okay.
Now they have, I can't even think of it, but, you know, sixth graders can't play basketball now. But if I can recall right, we could play, but we was just a part of another organization. So I think that's what they're doing today now. So,
no, you're right. We couldn't play until we got into the seventh grade, 7A. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, you played at Fairfield High School. I played at midfield. We were crosstown rivals, the battle of the fields. My senior year, I remember y'all beat us at home at midfield, and then we beat y'all at Fairfield, and then both of us went on to win state championships that year. Mm-hmm. But for y'all, it was the first in school history, and it was your senior year. So how was that experience for you? Like, did y'all get the royalty treatment the last few months of school?
I can say we did. With the coach that we did have, she had everything set in stone where we weren't forgotten. Like, it was like back-to-back events that we had. We had parades. We had the ring showcasing. We had a showcasing at the school where we were honored, and then we had the retirement for DeWanna Bonus jersey. Mm-hmm. So that was another big thing that we had during our senior year. No, matter of fact, I'm sorry, that wasn't my senior year. The retirement was my 11th grade year. Okay. But it was just things that correlated until our senior season that she did with us that helped us get to that championship. But yeah, we were treated right. I hate now, just in present time, that, you know, you kind of feel forgotten and you hate to keep reminding kids like we were this, we were that. But at the same time, that's history and history should never be forgotten. So we did get the royalty treatment. I can say that.
So what do you feel like can be done or needs to be done to help y'all's legacy live on? Like, do you need to have more up in the gym to let current players know who y'all are? Like, what do you feel like can be done?
To be honest, I'm the type of person, you don't hang what was over people's head. But like I said, it is history, so it needs to be remembered. But these kids these days, I can't really say that they are so focused on what was. A lot of kids are kind of in the future with things. And if they do like the sport as much as we did, they don't really care about the demographics of what other people brought to the table. They're kind of selfish to this point. You know, it's not much of a community anymore when it comes to those things. So I can't really voice my opinion on that. I'm not really a coach in high school or in the school system, but I have been around to say that kids really just don't care. It's it's not there anymore.
No, that's real. I get that. So you walked on at Shelton State, eventually received a full scholarship.
Right.
You won a regional championship, Sixth Woman of the Year, and then you went on to play at AUM for a semester. So what made you just stop playing, like walking away from basketball? Was it burnout, or did you feel like you had a better opportunity because you transferred to UAB where you got your degree? Did you feel like you had a better opportunity as far as your career post-sports there?
It was definitely burnout. It was an ongoing situation from high school on up to college, you know, just doing it just so I can remain free, have a free education. And it came to a maturity thing where I just felt like it's time to make my own decision and not doing this for other people. You know, I had issues. Well, I wouldn't say issues, but I had things going on at home where in high school, my mom had breast cancer and cervical cancer. So those were things where, you know, money was tight and, you know, you like, well, do I go to school for just what I want to do or do I go to school for free? So that was one thing why I didn't actually take the scholarship from Shelton right off the back, which I was offered the scholarship right off the back. But I declined it because I was tired in high school. So I didn't want to go to college and play. But then that happened. And then that was actually the best decision that I made, those 2 years of basketball with JUCO. Then transferring to AUM, you know, it didn't work out because of the career situation. I was in the wrong major. So, you know, just being educated enough to know, like, I'm not just here to play basketball. I am here to get my degree as well. You know, that didn't feel out right. So I just decided to just come on home.
Okay, so what were you majoring in at AUM? And then what did you end up getting your degree in at UAB?
So at AUM, I was supposed to major in architect.
Okay.
And what I was majoring in was art. So everything was off. You know, it was kind of a soul to broken dream, false hope scenario where I thought I was doing everything right. And, you know, we were still kids at the time. You know, we're not following up on things. The coach kind of told me, well, we have this major. You know, you can major in the correct thing, but you'll be in these core curriculums. And then come to find out, the curriculum choice that I was in, it was following up to me being an art major. And, you know, that wasn't the right thing. After I left Shelton, I was supposed to actually go to Auburn University to get the architect degree. And AUM did not have that major at all. So everything was just off.
I got you. So it was one of those things which a lot of players in our era kind of had to make it work. If you wanted to play ball, you know, get the free education, and a school may not necessarily have your major, you got to kind of make it fit. Where nowadays, you see a coach like Dawn Staley, she created a major for Joyce Edwards because they didn't have it. So it's just like, okay, we want you to come here. We're going to make sure you have everything that you need because your degree and what you major in is most important. Yeah, we want you to play ball and be happy, but
right,
we don't need you to settle or try to adjust when it comes to your career if it's not what you want. So that's one of the flexibilities that they do have now that we didn't really have then. So
that's definitely important. I think a lot of us back then were burned out so much because of that situation right there. I did wind up going to UAB within the 4 years that I did do. I wound up just getting a general studies degree because, again, the burnout, then kids came, and I was just ready to be done with it. You know, now collecting debt, I'm not going to school for free anymore, so I was just ready to get out of there, and that's what I did. So I got out of there. I got a degree. I can't say that, but that was that.
Because you started your Sweet Jones business while still in school in 2017. What made you say, okay, I want to go ahead and start my business instead of waiting until after you finished?
That was just like an epiphany. It just happened overnight. Kind of a situation where it started with treats. I actually started off with strawberries. And I was just like, I'm about to put chocolate on a strawberry with a topping, basically. And it just took off from there. Social media is really profound in getting my entrepreneurship off the ground because, you know, of course you could sell based off of social media. And, you know, I kind of had a big following based on social media, and money just came and orders came. And then somebody was like, hey, can you do a birthday cake for me? And it was a Tweety Bird cake I'll never forget. And I was like, I can draw really well, but I don't know if I can draw on a cake. And I did that, and doors just opened up. It's funny how things work because, like I said, I was an art major, didn't even know I was an art major, and then turned around and became a cake artist. So That was weird, but it worked out.
Yeah, and it actually sounds like since you kind of just got the degree to get it, it's like, okay, I don't have anything to lose. I might as well start this business and do something I'm really passionate about. Right. So you can have some type of fulfillment, like, okay, I'm coming out of school with this debt, but at least I started my business and I had this going for me. So that's good that you did that.
Right.
Because it is so funny, your timetable of things. Like, you got married in 2016 while in school.
Mm-hmm.
Started your business in 2017, graduated 2018, mm-hmm. and then you became a mother shortly thereafter. Like, when did you have your oldest daughter, Cortland?
So Cortland was actually born right after my, well, not born right after, but I found out in February that I was pregnant with her of 2013. A lot of things happened within that timeline of leaving school, finding out I was pregnant, and then turning around, becoming a mom first, and then a wife, because I actually had CJ as well during the time I was going to school. So I was going to school, carrying a kid to class, you know, baking didn't come into place until science. So that was my third child that it came into place. But a lot of things lined up. It seemed like it went backwards, but it all worked out for the better. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It worked out for the better.
Okay. That was a lot, because marriage, well, kids, your first child, marriage, school, what your mom dealt with. Mm-hmm. I can imagine that was a lot, because, and now I'm thinking, like, what I wanted to ask you was, how were you able to kind of, so Courtney, your husband, he's a coach. He was coach at AAU at first, was an assistant at midfield with the boys, and now he's the head coach of midfield, and now even a principal. Knowing that you had your business going on, your wife, your mother, how did you have to adjust as far as, okay, and be flexible, because his schedule is so demanding, mm-hmm. but I have to kind of be adjustable and flexible when it comes to my business. So how were you able to balance that?
Well, let's not forget, also, I was working myself a 9-to-5. So with doing all of that, it came to a situation where COVID, I think, really did a lot of, COVID was a blessing in disguise. I mean, I'm not going to use it as if, you know, a lot of people did lose their lives and get sick and things of that nature. But for my family in itself, that was the time where I was just able to let go of working a 9-to-5 and settle down at home. Because with my husband climbing in his career and us having younger kids, you know, school systems closing down, you know, it was just time for me to say, okay, it's about family. If somebody's working, I'm able to at least, you know, worry about the family. He's able to worry about the, you know, the career field. You know, marriage is not a selfish thing. You can't be selfish in marriage. So we both came to an agreement where I just said, hey, my entrepreneurship will take off. And I actually just said, I'm done with working. So I became a stay-at-home mom and a full-time entrepreneur. And things took off, actually. I became a celebrity cake artist during that time. I got into doing more things for the community with hosting events. I've hosted Grinch photos. I've hosted, and I think that was kind of the first for Birmingham to have. I'm not going to say I started it, because it could have been somewhere else where it was started in Birmingham, and I just don't know about it. But it really took off for my business. We had over like 150 people one weekend. So it was a really big thing where I hosted haunted houses, spelling bees, a lot of things just within my small business. So COVID really was a blessing in disguise for me.
And you kind of beat me to the punch, because I was going to say, despite all of the sacrifices you had to make, Sweet Jones still has grown tremendously over the past 8 years. And you've done cakes and events for multiple celebrities, as you mentioned. And one of those was WNBA star Angel Reese. So how did that opportunity come about for you to do a cake for her?
Listen, every opportunity that I have had with the celebrity was really just a DM. Hey, it was a leap out on faith. Let me do this for you. Or can I sponsor a cake for you? And it kind of happened in that scenario. I actually saw that she posted that she would be in Atlanta one weekend. I think it was the weekend of her 21st birthday. She's supposed to have some type of party in Atlanta. And Flage Mom was like managing it. So I saw that she posted it. So I hopped in her DM and I was just like, hey, I see you're going to be in Atlanta. I stay in 2 hours away. I want to get you a birthday cake. And she wrote back and she was just like, text this number. And the number she gave me was actually Flajay's mom, Nom. And so I was in contact with Flajay's mom with during the whole situation, and I met up with her to do the exchange. I didn't get a chance to meet Angel, but I did get a chance to meet Fly J. I'm not Fly J, but her mom, and I did the exchange that way, and it just went from there.
Okay, cool. And it was a nice cake, by the way. Real dope.
Thank you.
And so now you and Courtney are always in the gym with your kids doing conditioning and training them because, you know, your oldest daughter plays, Corlin, and then your son, CJ. Mm-hmm. And last year, you started coaching AAU with the Birmingham Blaze. So at what point did you decide it's time for me to coach, or why did you want to get into coaching with everything you have going on? Like, what made you say, okay, I want to coach?
Right. Like you said, with everything I had going on, like, that was a big step for me as well. So a lot of things have happened in the situation where people saying, hey, you need to become a coach, you know. And I think a lot of things happen on my time, because if I you have to have boundaries when you have a business and a family, you know. I'm not the type of wife who like to overstep my husband's you know, his career field or his anything he has going on, even though I don't think that that will happen. But at the same time, you have to be mindful of what you do as a partner when you have a partner doing something as well. So, you know, I declined a lot of offers to do coaching. But when my daughter did start to show interest in basketball, it became a protective thing more than of saying, hey, I want to get into coaching. You know, it was like, I need to protect her first of many coaches, because she was playing with another team before she was playing with me. And it didn't work out well. It was just a situation where if she would have stayed with that team, her confidence level would have been gone. So, and I actually put her on the team for her confidence level to build up. But that situation didn't work out. So I was just like, I'm going in mama bear mode. I'm going in protective mode. And it actually just went into coaching mode.
So it was a little bit of both of kind of like a passion. I feel like I'm kind of called to do this to help other young girls. But also you want to be really hands-on with Courtland too, in her
career. Right, right, right.
Okay. And you mentioned something about not wanting to overstep, like, Courtney's career, but I feel like y'all kind of complement each other. And now that you're coaching, do y'all, like, go over strategies and plays and, like, really talk game situations and stuff together?
Yeah, we have our nights where we're sitting in bed, you know, going through plays and things of that nature. Most times, if I ask him for advice, it's just basically a drill or something. I kind of know basketball well enough to, like you said, we complement each other. So if we do have a situation where I need help or any type of insert into a play or anything like that, I have already done it, but I'm just asking if it makes sense from him. But most times we are, you know, narrating situations. I told him he was my assistant coach. He doesn't have a choice in doing that. He has to be my assistant coach when it comes to AAU. But other than that, we work well when it comes to it. Like I said, it's not an overstepping thing, but it's also just being mindful of he is an actual coach, because I don't look at AAU as something small, because in this time of day now, a lot of kids are getting scholarships via AAU. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the girls that I had last year, it was a handful to work with. These kids came from not knowing anything related to real basketball techniques, real basketball game, like situation scenarios. And we did a whole I did a whole 360 when it came to those girls. So I only had a group of 7 girls. That was all I had to work with.
Okay. So you went through your first year learning curve. What would you say was the biggest learning experience? And like, okay, what's your mentality going into your second year? Like, what you need to improve on and how to make things better?
So right now what I'm trying to do is build kind of an elite program. And when I say elite, I'm still looking for girls who are trying to learn basketball, but I'm trying to raise the standard too. I want to be able to coach kids who put me in a situation where I got to think and they don't have to think so much. Last year, I can't say what I did do wrong was show kind of my attitude towards basketball, because, you know, again, when you're so passionate about the sport, you lack integrity when it comes to kids. Some kids really just don't know. And then I had 7th grade girls last year, and I had to depend on 2 6th graders to be my main scorers. And that was really hard. And one of them being my daughter and another kid that she goes to school with now. And it was really hard for those 2 girls to put that baggage on them. So I think going into this year, that's what I'm not looking forward to, depending on my child solely, with my player. I don't like to call her my child when she is playing for me, but I don't want to depend on her. I want her to be able to learn from older girls. I want her to be able to sit on the bench and say, hey, I think I'm ready to get in because I see something different that I can do in the game. Last year, our last game, to be honest, I did not perform well as a coach. The girls weren't performing well. And it was just one of those days where I'm like, hey, I'm just ready to get this over with. I sat down with my arms crossed, feet crossed, and I was over it because they looked like pure, you know, wet. And like I said, you're passionate about the sport and you practice. Like I say, we practice, and they come out and perform to their ability and not what we, you know, practicing for. So my attitude this year, I refuse to do that because that's not of a coach. You know, you have your games where you're going to show yourself, but I don't want to be like that, especially around young kids.
Mm-hmm. I got you. You got to be patient with them. They ain't going to have the mentality and understand what you trying to convey to them every time. So it's just like, I got to really kind
of have time to reflect on it. You know, I could have done a lot of things different. I think it was a great first year for me. I can't honestly say that. Like I said, I wasn't working with much, but what I had, we went in, we performed good. It was one situation where I think it was the Iron City Classic. We had four games that day, but we had a full day of basketball. Dewana Bonner had her camp that day. We showed up for that. That was from like 8 to 12. We had a game at 2 o'clock, and from 2 to like 7 o'clock, we played four games and one in. We competed in a championship game where we came up short like 3 points. But the girls coming from not knowing basketball and then coming into full-blown basketball days, they actually learned what it was to be a basketball player, what it was to be a gym rat. You know, we didn't have food that day. We were living off concession stands. So it was a great experience for us all.
And I wanted to get into the camp that Dewana Bonner hosted at Fairfield and ask you what that experience was like for your girls. Like, did they understand we're learning from a WNBA legend who is also a Fairfield High School alumni? She's from right here in our neck of the woods. And also you had Alyssa Thomas, DB's fiance there, who's also a WNBA great. Right. So did they understand the magnitude of what it was?
I can only speak for my child because she's living in my household. And so I'm going to give you a type situation right now. She was cleaning out her closet the other day, giving away stuff that was too little. And Dewana signed, you know, most of the girls' shoes. Her and Alyssa signed most of the girls. We had team shoes this year. They were LeBron's. So she says the shoes were too little and she was going to give them away. So in my mind, these are autographed shoes. What are you doing? But just like you said, did they understand? So, and that's a pivotal moment for you. You don't really understand what you have in front of you. So I had, even though I broke it down to her before we got to the camp, that situation that happened, I had to say, like, it doesn't matter if those shoes too little. You can hang those on your wall. You could frame those. Like, that's something memorable for you to have. You know, that's the first of many WNBA players you have met. Why would you give those away? Like I said in the beginning of us starting, like, these kids don't know history, and it's really sad. It's really sad. And like I said, I can only speak for mine because she lives in my household. But they had a great time. I can say they learned. This was Dewana's first time being able to do that camp. I know she's been trying to get that off the ground for many years. But this was her first time being able to do the camp. And I actually was just going to bring my child. But I remember we had a game, so I went ahead and told all the girls, you know, to at least show up. So they showed up, and they learned. And like I said, I did ask Cortland, I think about 2 weeks ago, do you realize that you were able to play in front of two legends? Like, mm-hmm. that's something profound. And she was like, no, I didn't realize that. But that comes with maturity. Mm-hmm. It comes with maturity and understanding. So I haven't had the opportunity to really ask the girls. But they seemed like they, you know, knew who they were and knew who they were around. But again, that comes with they don't understand. And I remember me as playing basketball, I took a lot of things for granted, small things like that, or being around greats like you and the Kings and, you know, playing with you all. I took that for granted. You know, you had Coach Barber saying, "You gonna come in the gym with us today?" I don't know you. No, I'm going home. You know, it's so. I'm trying to get mine to understand, like, be a gym rat as much as you can. If you want to go, you know, Division One, even if you don't go Division One, you can still go pro wherever you go. But be a gym rat. Love what you do.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I received that for you mentioning me as a grad. Thank you so much. And you were a star in your own right at Fairfield, a defensive specialist, right, like lockdown. So when I think of players like a DJ Carrington in the WNBA, you know what I'm saying? That's what you were.
Right, right, right.
You know? So, yeah. I want to ask you, you talked about being hands-on with Courtland. Like, that's a con, not a con, a pro of coaching her. But what are some cons of coaching your own child?
Being a mother. You have to be able to have boundaries and just say, I'm not your mom on the court. You know, we're getting between these lines. It's not mama daughter time. Like, I'm teaching. You are to receive what I'm teaching. We're not going to always agree. I can remember one game where we were in, I think, Atlanta, Georgia. We were somewhere in Georgia, but it was a kind of a prestige tournament where it was she had a bad game the last game, and I had to understand that she can't do it all by herself. But at the same time, you know, as a child, she's looking at me as her mom, her savior, and I don't want you to fuss at me. But I'm not fussing at you from a mom standpoint. I'm fussing at you from a coach standpoint. And we butted heads a lot when it came to that, because she couldn't recognize I'm coach right now. I'm not mom. You know, you can't take things personal. And I held grudges a lot. You know, I don't want to ride home with a child who's not performing well because I'm your coach. You know, as a coach, you want to have that time where you like, dang, she didn't do what I asked her to do. But as a mom, I have to be like, hey, you know, do better next time. You got to still give it courage and heart. So that's a huge con. It's hard coaching your own child. I wouldn't refer that to anyone. But I will say, when I did end our season, it was because of that. I felt our relationship having a tug. So I said, I'm not going to hinder my growth as a mother and her growth as a child. I would never want that to come into play. So I did stop our season early just because of that. So she did go perform with another team right after our season ended. And it kind of brought us back to mother-daughter space. So that's a huge con, though.
Yeah. And it's like, I know she understands that you played high school, college ball, but she's still able to watch you play now in the MLK Women's League. So it's like, whatever you're telling her, you got to be on your P's and Q's too, because it's like, she's watching. So does she ever call you on something like, all right, mama, you missed that defensive assignment, or you didn't do this, you try to tell me this, but you didn't do that. Like, do y'all ever have those moments?
Most definitely. If I pass up a shot, I'm not a huge three-point shooter. That's not my strong point. But if I do pass up a shot, she's on me all the time about that. I'm really more of a slasher attack person. And I try to get her to understand, you don't just put the ball down as soon as you get it. You know, you got to feel out the hole. You got to be able to see a hole before you attack the hole. So she's on me a lot about why I didn't go score. You know, it's a role in basketball. You know, if you have a score mentality, you have to understand your role with scoring. You just can't just go score just because you got the ball in your hand. But I think that was a good way for her to see that, you know, practice what you preach. And I have gotten back into the gym when it comes to, like, just working out, trying to be in shape. Because to be honest, Corbin is no, I can't compare myself to my child. She's nowhere near where I was when I was playing basketball. She has surpassed me in different scenarios. She can do things I couldn't do until high school and possibly college. She has the confidence level that I didn't receive until my JUCO year of college. So I applaud her for that, but I'm trying to get her to understand her development stage. She likes to put herself in scenarios where she wants to play with her age group a lot. And those girls can't, you know, she performs better than those, you know, in her age group. So I'm just trying to get her to understand how to play 5-on-5 basketball with kids that knows how to play basketball.
Yeah. And I can say, in watching her, like, clips on social media, I watched her play in the youth game that they had before I think it was the play-in game for the MLK League. And y'all do play kind of similar, like strong attacking the basket. But like she does take a lot of jump shots. She got a nice, real smooth shot. But y'all do kind of play similar. And does she lift weights you got in the weight room?
Yeah, we should
Okay.
weight room. So she, the school have them lifting weights, but I try to get her to have some type of schedule with me as well. Before the season had started, I'm kind of off duty now with that, but before the season started, trying to get her to have some type of 2-a-day schedule so that she can understand like this is what it takes to get there. I don't try to, burn her out. Most things that they do, they do them at 2 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock they're done. So most times she's just done with the basketball for the day. So, like I said, understanding to be a gym rat, it takes more than just bouncing the ball and putting it in the goal. Agilities matter, speed drills matter, those things matter.
Okay, what school is she at now?
She's at Pleasant Grove High School.
Oh, Pleasant Grove. Oh, dang, she in a knife?
No. She in the seven, but they got schools tied in together. The middle schools are with the high schools for Jefferson County.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right, because Pleasant Grove is a county school. I was like, I don't remember her being. Okay.
No,
Okay.
she's in seventh. She's a early bloomer. She's actually supposed to be in the sixth. So she went to private school at first, and they just put in her right grade when she got to public school. She has a late birthday.
Gotcha. Okay. And what's your mentality getting ready for like the fall season, the school season of, okay, I'm not your coach right now. I'll coach you like when we're working on your game. But for me to be a parent and kind of follow back and allow your high school or middle school coach to coach you, because we know we hear a lot from coaches on social media talking about how the parents can be a problem. And you have like kind of both perspectives as a coach and a player's mom and a former player yourself. So like what's your mentality of how can I kind of be a like an asset, a compliment to the coach and not hinder what they have going on, respect what they have going on and still play my role?
When I'm in a gym at any time, if I'm not coaching, you shouldn't know I'm in the gym. Like, I'm not the type of parent to want to sit on the front row. I sit as high as I can in the bleachers, away from the crowd. I don't even like sitting on the same side as the home team. And that comes with my husband's team as well. If they at the BJCC or anything, I don't sit with the crowd. I just don't like to be involved in those things. So I don't really have too many words to say when it comes to that. I would never want. I can remember a time when my mom actually said to me, "I'm gonna talk to your coach in college," and I stopped her in her tracks and I said, "You can't come on my job and talk to my boss." So I would never want that to be done for my child. So you should know I'm in the gym, and my husband is the same way. We'll talk to you when we get to the car, but don't look in the stands for us. You listen to your coach and you perform what you're supposed to perform. Because I don't know what go on in practice. I can't tell you how to play. Like I said, when I'm training you, or if your dad is training you, we are training you for 5-on-5 basketball, not individual basketball. We're training you for adult mentality, but we're not training you to be selfish or not know how to play 5-on-5 basketball.
Yeah, and I think that's best too, especially like you said, being a coach's wife to kind of be ducked off away because somebody in the crowd will say something, and you ready? Look,
Most
hey,
definitely, most definitely.
I already know how that is.
Like you said in the beginning, me and Courtney compliment each other, and we really just some real easygoing people. If I do hear something like that, I'm not coming home to be messy and tell my husband. I let that go off in the wind because everybody gonna have an opinion about something, and that's just the way of the world. So it is what it is.
Yeah, cool. Okay, and I see you have your Blaze girls working with Orlando Coleman, former standout at Pleasant Grove High School, played overseas. So how did that connection come about where he's working with your girls and like how often is he training them?
That actually started when of course Mr. Adams, Mayor Adams, and Tyler, they're director and co-director of the program. And me and Tyler just were talking one day on the phone, and I was just, we're trying to get the program to be kind of more of a travel team program instead of a local program where the girls can go perform in the same type of scenario situations, Ruffer Roses or the the other tournaments, like the I can't even think of the names right off the top, but Run for the Roses is one of the top programs that, you know, I mean, tournaments that most kids, most EYBL tournament, most EYBL teams go to. So we were just talking, and I was just comparing certain programs to our program and how we can get to those standards. And I said, well, hey, we need a specific trainer because I can train, but I don't want to be the person who does everything. You know, it's not fair to other coaches that I have to do everything. And, you know, that's just not how I wanted it. So I had him in the back of my mind. We had, you know, had already chopped it up before about training. And I had him in the back of my mind. And so I just reached out and we went from there. He was already on board, or he's always accommodating to whenever someone needs to be, you know, in the gym. So he was available, and he just decided, we all decided and agreed that he'll become the trainer. So we've already had two sessions with him. We've broken it up from, we started in August. We did four sessions actually in August for the girls. And then we're going to go in January again, right before tryouts for the season. And they're mandated for all of the teams of Blaze to be mandated for him to train each kid in the program. So that's how it all started.
Okay. But you have a tryouts going on this weekend, right?
Sunday at Parker High School at 3 p.m. we'll be doing tryouts for the eighth grade program, which that's the team that I'll be coaching this year.
Okay. So is that one of the things where you're like, how can I improve? Where you say you only had six or seven girls, so now you're trying to start early to get some more players in there.
Right. So I am a social media watcher. You know, I try to, I'm not a content creator, but I am of that status where I try to look at what other people do and try to help myself to doing those same things. So I seen a lot of other programs, big name programs, saying we're going to do early evaluations. So I said, well, hey, let me get on board with trying to do early evaluation tryout scenarios for my team. That way, if these kids don't make it with these other programs, or if they don't want to travel here in the far, they can come local, but we still can go to these tournaments and perform with these same teams. A lot of local talent that we do have, they go to the Stars and the OMGs, which are all great programs, but we have open doors as well. So that's what I'm just trying to get out there.
Okay, good deal. All right, now I want to get into some WNBA talk.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about some dogs of the WNBA, some big dogs, like who fans or people already know about, and just talk about them, and then maybe some underdogs, some players who are great but don't get a lot of coverage. So I want you to go first. Give me, like, we can go one at a time. You get one and I get one. So give me one of your big dogs.
Well, of course, Asia Wilson. I love her game.
Yeah, right. I got the shirt on. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love her game, and I watch the game when I can. I kind of keep track of, like, clips of from other games and things of that nature. But just watching her from college to the WNBA, she has performed great. I mean, the climax of her game has developed very well, and I look like I haven't seen many like her. You know, you had the Maya Moores, the Candace Parkers, but her game doesn't compare to theirs. They were more guard. Like, she is more like one through five. She can do it all, and I love her game.
Yeah, no, she's definitely a fantasy player. And MVP, back-to-back MVP this season, I had her to win it over Nafisa before they announced it. I know a lot of people was, like, kind of upset that Fee didn't win, but, you know, she missed a lot of games, and once she went out, like, early in the season, it was going to be Fee. Right. But once Asia and the Aces went on that 16-game winning streak, I think in, like, three of those games, Asia had 30-plus. It was just like, after they got beat by 50-plus to the Lynx,
yeah,
it's like, okay, this was embarrassing. It's not going to happen again. And they just went on a run. And it's like, not only is Asia dominant, but the way she can rally her teammates.
I was just about to say that. I love how she can get them to perform to the best of their ability. That 30-point game streak that she's had, it hasn't just been one time. Like, it's been several games back-to-back where she's have had those type of performance. And it's phenomenal. Like, You okay, now that you said that, now we're getting the Angel Reese situation where she's talking to her team saying, hey, we need to be able to perform at a certain standard. And it's sad that it's coming from a young player, but they're treating her like she's an actual young player. When she has, if I had that type of player in my, you know, situation, it'd be like, I want this type of voice because at the same time, now I could build my program under her. Mm-hmm. She spoke that into existence. Hey, we're not going to perform like this anymore. And they've been taken off. So I definitely agree with you.
Yeah. And in Angel's case, you know, anything she says, people going to find some negativity in it, unfortunately. But I think, well, she is the franchise player for the Chicago Sky, you know. So she should be able to speak that and people not be offended. If a man had said it, an NBA player had said it, it would not have been a problem.
I definitely agree with it.
Yeah, now she doesn't have the stats and the experience that Asia has. If Asia has said, nobody can say anything. Like, yeah, because right. We know Asia going to produce and she's going to do what she's supposed to do.
Practice what she preaches.
Practice what she preaches. Now, you got this guy who team is struggling. Angel has done well, but can do better. Yeah. So I just think a lot of things are taken out of context with her. And I don't agree with them suspending her for that first half after she made those comments. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot with that, with the Sky's organization, man. A lot needs to change with them and how they run it. It's just been a poorly run organization for the past several years. They did win a championship, you know, with Candace Parker, Khalil Copper, Sloop. But other than that, it's just been rough. But yes, Asia, a dog for sure. So since you said Asia, I'm going to go Alyssa Thomas.
Yeah.
I feel like she's a dog in her own right, stat stuffer. She going, you know, the record, like, with the triple-doubles this season, she was in the MVP running. Unfortunately, when you have Asia, like, you playing with Asia, right, and, like, how they went from the eighth spot to the number two spot, you can't deny that. So I feel like maybe they need to create another award, like a fantasy player award or something. So
that's good. I like that.
Yeah, Alyssa would win that because, again, being a stat stuffer, she's a person that's going to give you assists, going to give you points, rebounds. Still, she does it all. So it's just going to be tough because I think the Mercury, they were kind of in the same spot, like, what was it, like, fifth or sixth seat all year. So it's just like, even with the triple-doubles, it didn't move them. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like, dang, what she did was amazing, but it didn't move the needle like what Asia did.
Yeah, she's a really strong player. I mean, I say strong, it's like from her stamina to her, you know, entirety. She's a strong player. I like the way she played. I like the way she handled herself on the court. She's not going to back down from anybody. So I definitely, that's a good one. I like her.
Yeah. And then just what she did with the Sun. Unfortunately, I don't think they didn't win a championship with her. I mean, they made it to the finals.
Right.
Hopefully. This year, I got the Lynx winning. I don't see anybody beating them in a series. Mm-hmm. But hopefully she can get a championship because I don't think she's won one yet.
Right, no. Yeah.
But a lot of people don't realize she's actually playing injured because, you know, she still hasn't had the surgery to fix those, you know, her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it was like, that's why she shoots the way she shoots, because she had the shoulder injury.
I definitely didn't know that.
Years ago. But yeah, so I think she's like waiting until after she retires to have the surgery. But she was just like, look, I'm doing well without it. So she's just playing. So
I could definitely understand it. Look, I just had to go to the doctor the other day for my shoulder. That's injury since high school. So we try to prolong it to after the season. And I wish her well.
Yeah. Okay, give me another dog. Give me another dog.
I'm gonna have to go with Paige. She's a rookie. She's definitely gonna be a face of the WNBA as she continues to mature. I love her overall game. She puts you into the Mamba mentality. She, you know, of course, was mentored by him, but you can tell that she really studied his game a lot. I love her game. She's developing well. She can carry a team by herself. As far as the team that she's on, they're very quiet. I like the team. They do perform well. But I think that she could perform with the Angels. I don't think they will be good to be paired with. But I think the team she I don't think she's going to be there for a while.
You say you don't she you don't think she's going to be there?
I think she's going to move around at one point. But who's to say she may stay?
Yeah. I kind of agree. It's tough because you also have Arike who is there, and it's like they're just great players that's on a bad team.
Right.
You know,
I feel that way with the Sky situation. I don't see where Angel could fit into another program. Like, where can she fit that she will actually be able to gel with those girls? It's like that with a lot of teams in the WNBA. You got some teams that's just completely stacked, and then you got some teams that just has one player in. That's really bad.
Mm-hmm. It's really
bad. And I wouldn't say just one player, of course, but they have players, but it's a drop off. Like, see, Coastin is another underdog that I like. But she's to the point where, I don't know, maybe retirement or she's like, whatever the situation may be with the game. But I feel like she's really slipped on. I like her game.
Okay, Coastin. Okay, you jumped to the underdogs. Okay, let me give you one more big dog. I feel like she was an underdog, but now she's kind of solidified herself as a big dog. Kelsey Mitchell.
Yeah.
From what she's done, especially like towards the end of last season and then this season without Caitlin, you know, Caitlin has missed most of the season, and then all of the injuries they've had. So for them to knock out the Dream, mm-hmm. you know, that was an upset because nobody expected them to beat the Dream. And then to win the first game against the Aces, beat the Aces at home in that series. And she's been like performing well, like just been handling business, been great for them. So Kelsey Mitchell is a dog.
Yeah. Okay. I can agree.
Okay. So do you have any more dogs? You want to get to the underdogs?
We can get to the underdogs. I think I spoke about see it as an underdog. I really like her game. I don't think she's had the opportunity to, well, of course, in her early years. But I think with her being leaving Asia side and being, you know, by herself, I think that kind of put her under the scope of just it's whatever. I don't know where her performance level is anymore. But I have seen when I have studied her and seen, like, you know, previous clips of the past and things of that nature. Because to be honest, I'm gonna be 100 about it. I kind of had a big drop off of watching the WNBA for a while. Mm-hmm. But now that my daughter is back, you know, I try to keep up with things and, you know, and then, of course, you know, I got another underdog, Juana. That's my other underdog. She's a spark. She's a light. When the team is just totally silent, she comes out of nowhere. So she's another underdog that I can voice an opinion about.
You feel like DB an underdog. She like top three scoring, all time scoring.
She's a very much a historian, but with the situation with her leaving, you know, Indiana and then coming back, I think it put her under a scope of trying to gain back, you know, those stats, that popularity stats. So I think she's just a spark. I don't think she's really much an underdog, but I think she's really a role player where when it's time for her to perform, she performs very well.
Yeah, I can agree. I can agree with that. And then, too, when I think about it, she's never been an Olympian, and she's deserving of it. When we talk about people who got snubbed for the Olympics, she was one of the people I mentioned. Like, how you top three all-time scoring list, WNBA champion, you know, been in the league for so long and has never been selected for the Olympic team. So I can agree with that. Okay, so I give a couple of underdogs. Courtney Williams, Minnesota Lynx.
Okay.
So it's like, of course, everybody know what Fee does, but Courtney is just like she's their engine, mm-hmm. you know, so she can score, assist, play defense, defend the ball well. So I feel like she's a spark for them. And then I'm gonna go Erica Wheeler, who's my personal most improved player this season, because when she was with the Fever last year, I was just like, she didn't give them much. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if it wasn't a good fit, her coming off the bench. But this year with the Storm, oh, she got busy. You know, she did her thing. I honestly expected a little bit more from the Storm, but they ran into the Aces for the second year in a row. I hate that they faced them for the first series. To me, there should be a second round series, but it's the Storm's fault. You got to finish stronger. There's no way you should be finishing seventh or eighth to, you know, to even be playing the Aces in the first round with the talent they have.
Right.
But yeah, Erica Willard this year, she was really a real big spark for them in scoring and defending. So she's another underdog. Okay, so the last thing I want to ask you about is the playoff format for the W. So, like, with the first two series, they do the best of three.
Okay.
And then they do the best of five for the finals.
Mm-hmm.
But this year, they're going to do the best of seven, I believe. I think they switched it to – hold on, let me double check that. Yes, yeah, so it'll be a best of seven. So it'll be just like, I think, yeah, the same format as the NBA. So a 2-2, then 1-1-1. So I feel like, which is good, because the best of five was too fast. It was too quick. It's not enough. So the best of seven. So with the finals being best of seven, I feel like the first two rounds should be a best of five. Because that best of three is too quick. You have no room for error. So you lose that first game, you got to win the second one to advance. So
I agree.
Like I said, with the Seattle Storm and the Aces, I wanted to see more. Mm-hmm. You know, that last game they played, it was really good. So it's like, we need a best of five.
Yeah.
So I know that's going to require, it'll require more travel, a few more games, extending the season. Instead of it ending like October 20th, it'll probably end in October 1st of November. But with the way the league is growing, players getting more money, I think it's good for the fans. You know, so
well, I wish that it will just continue to let it all just develop, like just let it grow. Like, what is the stopping point? Why are we stopping so much with women's basketball? Like, why can't we let it develop the way men's basketball is developing all the way around? So I definitely agree with the money being an issue, with travel being an issue. It shouldn't be an issue with letting women, you know, take their stand in what, you know, we're playing our butts off for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. I agree. Well, it's been a pleasure having you, Amber. Thank you so much for coming on.
This was a great opportunity. I really be nervous about doing these things. I was just on a podcast about almost 3 weeks ago. And it was kind of different from this. You know, of course, we were doing Zoom, but it was kind of a live podcast. But I was really nervous, but I enjoyed you. You're a great commentator. I love it. You keep this conversation flowing. So you're doing well. You're doing well with this.
Hey, the same here. I appreciate you for coming on. It's been a pleasure. I received it. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Sports Minded. I'm your host, Brittany Young. Until next time, y'all be blessed. We out of here.